said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round on the radio now.
Today FM Morning Crew.
The Today FM Morning Crew catch up with Husey, Ed and Aaron.
Yes, a very good morning to you, Sydney. It is Husey, Ed and Aaron.
Yeah, we are fired up. Going to be a massive show. Monday is just our favourite day of the week. We're leaning into it. Whether you're at home or one of the few that are leaving home to do some essential work, we are here for you. Aren't we?
Yeah, that was special, Ed. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was special. What was it?
It's beautiful.
It's definitely special. It's going to be a big show, though. We've got so many guests, don't we, Aaron? We've got many guests on.
Mate, I don't even have time to go through three or four of them, but I will. Larry Emder's coming on. He's just taking over the chase this afternoon. Also, that other amazing guy, David McEwen, whose sister Emma is swimming in one of the finals this afternoon in Tokyo at the Olympics.
But also, she won gold yesterday.
Well, yeah, I guess she did, if you want to focus on the past, yeah.
No, we live in the present, so right now she's won nothing. So.
That's what you're all about, eh? Mark Barrett is coming on.
Barrett's our mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a thing with Barrett's. I can't remember what it was, but we had something.
So a scammer was using his picture, I believe.
Yes, that's right. A scammer was using Barrett's photo, and we told him about it. So, yeah, his photo was coming up as some hot American guy who wanted cash off lonely ladies.
Jeez.
It's big. I've got some news, though, when we come back, don't I? I've got a bit of news about what I'm up to.
Yeah. About what you've done and now where you are. The consequences of your actions, I would say.
Today FM.
Guys, news, I'm in self-isolation, so... Yeah, so I'm away from everyone for 2 weeks.
That was you, wasn't it? At the protest.
What was me? it wasn't because I was at the protest. No, I was not at the. I was working on the Masked Singer while the protest was happening. So,
you would have been there.
I wouldn't have had some spare time. No, you know what I'm like. I'm the vaxiest vax guy, and I'd say most of the protesters are anti-vaxxers, are they? Is that fair to say?
No.
Or you can't conflate the two?
No, exactly. It was an odd mix. Sure, what you as can I'd do. Say, it was an odd mix of agendas.
Yes, I'd say. I think majority of them were not kind of small business owners and construction workers who were genuinely, you know, trying to evoke change. I think majority of them were troublemakers.
Well, they found out now that it all started on the fringe groups, the online groups, and we can tell that Husey's in isolation because every now and again he's got me on two streams, which I'm enjoying. I'm in stereo, and I appreciate that. Enemy. Thank you, buddy.
No, I had to touch something. So, yeah, we're not here to talk about that. No.
Oh, my God.
But anyway.
So, basically, because of your actions. So after Masked Singer, this is true. After Masked Singer, they marched in. They said, Hughes, go by yourself, mate, after what you've done. 2 weeks, mate.
We're not here to fuel speculation.
What's the truth in it? You finished Masked Singer. They walked in. They said, come on, Dave, come with us. What have I done? You know what you've done. Here you go. let's give it 2 weeks. That's exactly what happened. Is it not the case?
No, I'm in isolation
took
for 2 weeks.
Took a swing at a horse on your way out? Took a swing at a horse?
I'm not a horse puncher, dressed as a horse.
You took a swing on the way out? They're like, that's exactly what we're talking about.
I'm not a horse puncher, and I never have been. I'm a horse lover.
God, that evokes images that are not pleasant for this time of morning.
That's your mind.
Yeah,
not
it is. You're
else's.
Right. It is my mind, and I've got issues, and I'm the first to admit it.
I'm patting horses, but I took my shoes off last night, and I'm not going to have to put them on for 14 days.
Congrats.
This is I had a shower this morning, and there was aftershave, which I'd placed next to the sink, and I thought, who's that for now?
Yeah.
That's just for me. I want to put aftershave on so I smell good for me?
Nope.
So I didn't.
See, I'm confused by that you use aftershave because you don't even clean your teeth half the time. So why would you use aftershave?
Because I want you and Ed and Jack to, you know, be happy that I'm in the room. And I want the aftershave to be, I want you to go, he smells good. I like having him around. So, but now, do I squirt it or not? Do I squirt my aftershave for 2 weeks?
Interesting, just interesting pronunciation of aftershave there.
Aftershave.
Oh, okay, that's better.
What else did I look? What's it sound like? Anyway. Yes. So, yeah.
What are your plans?
Exciting.
What are your yeah. isolation plans? Like, what are you going to do? You've got 2 weeks. How are you going to improve yourself?
Yeah, I thought I should take a before and after photo where, like, and I was going to do it last night and then I didn't get round to it, but a photo of me, how I look now and how I look in 2 weeks. And then I'll do a prison style, on those movies where they have the prison style montages where the guy's just doing push ups. And yeah. I don't have a chin up bar though. So I don't know. And I can't do chin ups anyway. So, I think I might order dumbbells to the room. Can I Uber Eats dumbbells?
Yeah, they deliver exercise equipment.
I'm going to get ripped. I'm going to absolutely.
Oh, yeah, man.
Can I get steroids delivered to the room or not? Yeah.
There was a fair few people at that parade, the protest, that might be able to help you on that level.
Yeah, I did see a funny. Yeah. Do you see the funny photo where the guy in the ripped guy was, in the photo
about what he puts in his body when it comes to the vaccine, but not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Things. Obviously, he's on the roids.
Whoa. See, others were happy to just imply it through kind of not using words that were defamatory. You just came right out.
Yeah, but we didn't say who he was.
I haven't identified him. I'm sure he doesn't want to be identified. Then he'll be alongside me. Anyway, I'm not. Are they all meant to go into isolation, everyone at the protest? Is that the story?
They're meant to go and get tested. But, I mean, and this is the thing, they'll all say, there's been no spike in numbers, so coronavirus isn't real. It's like not one person who went to that protest is going to go and get tested and do the right thing because they don't believe in it.
Yeah, right. But it's coming though, isn't it?
What?
It's already here.
I think it might be here. Yeah.
The Today FM Morning Crew Catch Up.
Hairspray. What? I feel, even if you're on your own for 2 weeks, you should make an effort. So I'm going to be using hairspray every day. Hmm. Can't find my aftershave, so. But the hairspray smells good. Erin, do you love your hairspray smell?
I've got to be honest with you. Last week at Channel 9, I did use it as more of a perfume than I did as hairspray because I was going into the news booth and I kind of went, I feel like, and not me smelling, but I felt like what I was wearing might have had a pre-existing pungent odour. Yeah.
Well,
and I asked the hairdresser, I'm not going to reveal
Hang on. So are you telling me at Channel 9 there's just a big pile of clothes and you walk in there and grab something and someone else could have been schwitzing in it for 2 hours before you?
Well, potentially. So
it's a break.
So, no, but I've got kind of my own dressing room with a wardrobe in it. Cam Williams and I share together. But
Cam's not using it. He's not frocking up, is he? He's not a frocker.
Other girls might borrow some of my wardrobe, which is totally fine because I'm really supportive of that.
Hang on. Have you ever turned the news on and seen another woman in one of your outfits? Like
absolutely.
A dress?
Absolutely. Even so, Sophie Walsh at the moment is hosting Weekend Today with Dickie. And the other day I was getting ready for Sunday Footy Show and she walked in my shoes. And I was like, are they my shoes, girl? She's like, yeah, they're your shoes. This is awkward. And I was like, no, it's not because I couldn't care less. They look great.
Remember the old days, the heady days of television when, a Channel 9 personality would wear an outfit and then just burn it at the end of the day. Just to make sure that they never wear it again.
The Karen Packer days.
Now, you get a helicopter home every night, and now you get, you're getting the bus and...
and you got a dry clean. You've got
a communal clothes bin. Where
they do a great job wardrobe at Channel 9.
Washed once a year, possibly.
Well, sometimes I do suspect...
In a river.
Once someone gets the job of flying of all of the Ganges and smacking it out and bringing it back.
Keeps people at a job, right?
But what about Channel 7? They're on the Olympics and it's all happening, but they had some disappointments yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, no, look, the results are not going exactly as we might have liked. Now, look, we did the 4x100 metre freestyle relay. That's what happened to me. That's why everyone should be doing this. They won, got record time, and we're going to be speaking to David McKeon, one of the a brother and a former swimmer himself of one of those superstars.
We needed that. That had to happen.
It did.
If that hadn't happened, I think we were just, Channel 7 would have just shut up shop because there was some disappointments yesterday.
And some really bland kind of sports too.
Now, what do you got? Barty, a shock loss. I hated this. Yes. She lost to world number 48, a Spaniard by the name of Sara Sobres.
You know what? Ash Barty was playing so bad, it took me back to when I was my doubles partner was Aaron Mole, and we were playing, playing Russell Crowe and his girlfriend. And, yeah, she just could not get the ball in the court.
See, that is absolutely – that's just not true. Like, you can't throw me to the wolves for the sake of a comedic moment when it's not backed up by truth.
Well, you were bad and Ash was bad, so I thought I would connect the two. She was like she was playing cricket again. She was trying to hit every ball for six.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
She was hitting them some of them out of the... She was going, oh, home run. No, you're playing tennis, Ash. What's going on there?
Obviously celebrated Wimbledon, and good on her, I say.
All right, well,
What?
No, because she celebrated Wimbledon, like as if she was going to train for 2 weeks in the lead up to the Olympics. Like, if I won Wimbledon, I'm going to be boozing, I'm going to be gambling.
Tim, you're doing all that anyway. That's why you'll never win them.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that.
The Boomers won. That was a good match. I watched that last night. That was a bit of fun.
Was there a problem with what channel that was on?
No, because it was on the main channel. And then they go, I'll go over to 7, mate. And you go, God, I've got to find 7,
mate.
That's
right, with 2 minutes to go, didn't it?
Yeah, it was 2 minutes to go. And then I go, 7, mate. For God's sake, what's on 7, mate? Before you know it, you're watching Heartbeat on 7.2 for 5 minutes. My wife's screaming at me going, can you load the app? Can you load the app? I'm like, for God's sake. So I get the 7 Plus app because she wants to watch Taekwondo. Her father coached Lauren Burns to her gold in Taekwondo at Sydney Olympics, right? So they're mad for it, right?
Yeah, and they're Taekwondo legends.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely right. He's getting, am I allowed to say this?
Yes, you are.
He's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award in Taekwondo.
He's getting phone calls from athletes over there going, hey, can you give us a hand?
That's amazing.
But anyway, I just don't know if they're allowed to be doing that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is...
They're allowed to get coached. Why wouldn't they be allowed to do that?
What about Australian race walker Dane Bird Smith has withdrawn, sadly, for family reasons. But then we've also had the women's cycling road race. There was a woman who thought she won. She was celebrating.
Oh, yeah, no. We need to get to the bottom of that.
We'll talk about that later on. And well,
we got that in the rundown.
Yeah, somewhere. And now, you know, the good news for Sally Fitzgibbon, who's through in the surfing, who's through in her heat.
I watched it. It was amazing.
Oh, did you watch it?
She was great. Yeah, I watched Sally. She was huge. Her last wave was, she had to have a good last wave and she absolutely knocked it out of the park.
I love it when it comes down to last wave.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant work by our mate.
And have you seen, there's a typhoon coming. And
I saw.
A lot of people, sort of coastal dwellings are not happy, but the surfers couldn't be happier.
Oh, no, exactly. That's all that matters. Can I give you a freestyle fact, if anyone cares?
Yes.
From our family group text. On a different note, crazy Olympic fact of the day, freestyle isn't actually a swimming stroke. It means you can choose to swim any stroke that you obviously know is in a freestyle race, but everyone chooses to swim front crawl because it's fastest. So everyone thinks front crawl equals freestyle.
That's not what it's called.
What do you
mean? You've missed the best part of that.
Australian crawl.
It's called Australian crawl.
No, it's not.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
We invented it. Whatever. We invented that in the Hills Hoist and Wi-Fi.
No, that other thing we invented as well.
Hotel quarantine.
Yeah, hotel quarantine. And how well has that gone?
Now, we've got Olympic fever. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's, you know, it's happening. So, and everyone's in lockdown and you're focusing on stuff you'd never focus on. You know, we're all into, you know, people rowing in some weird river that's rapids and stuff. And what's the girl's name? Who's the
Jessica Fox. Jessica Fox is one of the greats.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, very, very good. In the slalom K1 heats, registering a time of 98.46, 3 seconds better than the next fastest. Erin, how did you see it?
She's incredible. I adore her. Her dimples are just divine. Okay. That's what I noticed when I saw the footage on the news last night, was her beautiful smile. But her mother, her parents were both Olympians, and she's won a silver medal at the last Olympics, and she is a shoo-in for gold.
Oh, here we go, guys. That's in the pocket.
Sorry. Hang on. No. You take that back.
The shoe-in bit?
Both of you take that back. We cannot assume anyone is going to win anything.
Yeah, because you screwed us with Ash Barty because you said she was a shoe-in for gold. Or was that you, Ed?
No, I didn't. I didn't do nothing.
That was actually Ed.
You know what? I don't want to hear any of your predictions about gold.
Here come my pockets.
No.
I'm wearing one of those fisherman's jackets, just chock full of pockets. It's a black jacket. Ready?
No, pocket. When they lose, all right. I don't like this. Touch wood. Touch wood. Put your hand on some wood when you do your pocket talk. Because when
put
you
my
assume
hand in
some
my pocket and touch some wood, it's not very nice. As
the famous saying is, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Here we go.
We do not. We're not assuming anyone wins.
Women's 100 meter butterfly, pocket. Women's 400 freestyle final, pocket. Men's 4x100 freestyle, pocket. Triathlon, pocket. Hockey, men's and women's, pocket, pocket. Water polo, men's and women's, and intersex, pocket, pocket, pocket. Surfing, pocket. Archery,
so what does pocket mean
team.
That they're going to win gold? No,
he says they're
going to
win.
Already in the pocket.
You've just. This is not going in the podcast. So it's out of the
eight
podcast.
Gold.
No, we're not. When we talk to our next guest, who is an Olympic champion himself, or I believe he got a medal, mm-hmm. He will tear you a new one so that you can, you know.
A new pocket. Chuck another gold in there.
He'll tear you a new a-hole so you can shove all your assumptions in it, you know, because you're talking out of it at the moment because we're a humble nation, wow. You know.
Isolation's got you really Jesus. Angry and, like, really bitter and nasty,
I just, you
even
do not
nasty.
Aaron, you don't assume that someone's going to win because then their whole family are sitting there thinking they're going to win, and when they don't win, the Channel 7 cameras don't go to them, and they're sad.
Today FM, Sydney.
We are so pumped up about the Olympics. I mean, there's the gold medal yesterday was incredible in the swimming. How well did they do?
Well, the women's 4x100 meter freestyle relay team. Yeah. Why don't we let some audio courtesy of Channel 7 tell the story?
Kate Campbell in the water for her third gold medal. Away she goes. 4x1 equals 3 in a row for the Australians. A world record. They defend their title and the best of this generation.
I'll tell you how I knew that was happening. I was at that stage hosting the Sunday Footy Show on Channel 9. As I checked my phone during the ad break, it was a really good show too. I see people like Gus Gould, who is on the payroll at Channel 9, tweeting about watching Channel 7 at the same time and the girls winning gold. And I turned to my colleagues and said, no one ain't watching us, bros. Don't try.
I don't know if it's legal, but I reckon you should have the swimming up behind you. On
So definitely do that.
It's prepaying a heap for our Olympic rights. Yeah. We'll just steal it.
We were watching intently, but were we watching as intently as the brother of one of those superstars who's also a superstar in his own right? Yes. Were we?
I don't think so, because a two-time Olympic swimmer representing Australia retired from the sport earlier this year, a brother of Emma McKeon, is David McKeon, who joins us on the line. Morning, Dave.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me very much. Very early.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you're a swimmer. What time would you get up for swimming in your illustrious career? It must be 4 a.m., was it?
Yeah, it was, but it's been a while since I got up this early since I've retired.
Yeah, the effort that you've made, David. Thank you, good
thank
man.
You.
Now, on the subject of that, mate, you swum at the Olympics. You've been in all the big meets. Generally, the finals are at night, aren't they? Is it a lot harder for your sister to get up for finals in the morning? Even we found out how hard it was for you to get up this morning. So, is it a lot harder?
Yes and no. I think they train for this. So, and this is similar to the 2008 Olympics. It's the exact same thing. Everything has to align with what the American broadcasters want to do. So in Rio, we had to swim finals at midnight.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Different. Yeah, it is different, but, you know, it's just everyone's in the same boat, so.
Do you blame the Americans, though? Do you look at them when you're there and go, yeah, good one, thanks, guys?
I don't think it's got anything to do with, like, the actual athletes. I think it's more the money that I think it's NBC pays, so, yeah.
But, I mean, have you spoken to your sister since the win?
We haven't. I think my parents spoke to her yesterday or last night, possibly, but I haven't spoken to her. But, yeah, she's pretty happy. She's got a big week, so she's just kind of, you know, trying to control the nerves.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
control
the thing we're swimming in, isn't it, Dave? You finish one race, but you still got, you know, two or three others often to go.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. So you just got to chuck the gold medal in the boot and then go, right, I'll get back to that later on.
Yeah, well, Emma had two swims yesterday in the finals. Yeah. She had hit the semi of the 100 fly, and then maybe about 40 minutes later, the final at 100 free, 4x1. So, and then she's got today the final of the 100 fly again. So hopefully, you know, see what happens there. And then she's got actually 2 days off or two sessions off, and then she's back for the for a few relays, and she's still got. Relays.
Can I ask what your parents are like, mate? Are they like, you know, well done, even though you didn't win, or are they like, you didn't win, so we're not going to feed you? What sort of parents are they?
They're pretty good parents. They've been very supportive of us both, or, you know, all three of us. I've got another sister as well, Caitlin. So, they've been pretty good, and both my parents have been there as well on the world stage at the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games. So they know what Emma's going through. So it's pretty cool.
Tell us about your parents. What did they do?
My dad went to 2 Olympics for swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then mum went to the Commonwealth Games for swimming. And then my uncle, Rob Woodhouse, he's my mum's brother, went to 2 Olympics for swimming as well.
Did you guys just swim out of the womb? I mean, what happened? I mean, pretty good genes.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We were never forced into it or anything like that. We just started to enjoy it. I only started myself when I was 17.
To 2 Olympics?
What?
Yeah, 17? Emma did a similar thing. She kind of jumped in and out of the sport as well.
Because you didn't want to get up early. It's like me. I only did one day of a paper round, and I'm like, I stuff this. But so you were like, so you slept until you were 17, and that's when oh, my God.
I was actually getting up at 6 o'clock to watch Baywatch on TV.
Yeah. I get it.
Who is your favourite? Were you a Pamela man or that that other tall, skinny one?
I was a David Hasselhoff fan. No,
yeah, who was? Yeah. Legend.
We all love the Hoff.
Yeah.
Oh. Huge.
Well, mate, good on you, David. Thanks, mate. Thanks very much for chatting to us. Send your best, please, or from all of us to Emma over there, mate. Doing a great job. Well,
do you reckon can you get back to sleep now? Do you reckon, or are you up for the day?
I'm up for the day, I think.
You grab Baywatch on Stan, I think it's a
Today FM, Sydney.
Queensland government forces NRL hub families to keep their balcony doors shut amid blatant breaches. There was footage of NRL families handing marshmallows to each other. Goodness knows how many ladies have been snuck in over the weekend. Big shout out to them. They'll probably be leaving at the moment.
They're not coming in via drones, though, are they? They're not jumping off the back. Are they hand gliding in, are they? How are they getting
to they're going to go to great lengths. They've got to do what they've got to do. As Paul Gallen wrote, these young players, it would be criminal and cruel to force them to be alone.
And that's love. Oh, goodness me, I'm going to tear up.
Then you see Emma Lawrence and from Nine News Sydney and NRL on Nine, and then Dobbo, great mate of mine, bangs out this report about the conditions, how they're keeping the balconies closed.
The bottom line is that they can't lock the doors to the verandas. It's impossible. So Queensland Health sent a directive to the NRL and they've gaff-taped every single door. That's 500 families that are up here at the moment. No one can get any fresh air onto a veranda, which is laughable.
I think it is. Yeah.
It feels excessive to me. I understand, you know, that there are certain things that they have to do and, you know, to be allowed in. I just think, I mean, look, if they've broken the rules and, you know, this is what happens, but it not allowing fresh air in seems excessive. And Emma Lawrence made the point on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday that it's almost, if you're not letting fresh air in, the same air is being recycled through the air conditioner between rooms. And isn't that more of a risk of bloody things being contracted and passed on than getting
but
a bit of fresh air?
But this is about the marshmallows. No. They have to gaffer. Yeah. So what they have to do is gaffer-tate the room shut and then send a picture to Queensland Health showing that the room is shut. We could then just open it immediately.
Well,
exactly.
Anyway, just rip off the gutter. It's bizarre.
But I think I pick up on the point of the fact that, now they're just recycling the COVID air. The Delta is airborne, guys, and the only way to get it out is by opening your doors and letting it out. So now it's just stuck inside. It's just, look, let them eat some bloody marshmallows, wouldn't you? You've got to be able to go outside. I mean, where I am here in isolation, my balcony's staying open the whole time.
Drapes
absolutely.
Open.
Absolutely. I saw a bloke getting change last night. Absolutely. Big beefy bloke across
beautiful.
The way.
Beautiful.
Big beard. Someone else is going to get involved in this situation, aren't they? So, I don't know. I did... Well, I don't know what happened.
You got to wave.
I'm not here doing that. What's that? I didn't wave. I was peeking through the curtain.
Yes. Well done, mate. Something was peeking through. Can I? What was, now, Hughie, you watch the NRL footy show every Sunday. What did
yeah,
you pick
I do.
Up on?
Yeah,
and
no.
Friday
I
love footy, don't you, Hughie?
Absolutely, yeah. No, the Friday night it started. There's something going on with Erin, and she needs to straighten up because she is meant to be the moral arbiter. She's meant to be the beacon of. Niceness, chastity, yep. and everything chastity. Good about yep. the world. And she's
sorry,
leading.
I'll just adjust my belt; it's digging in.
She's leading NRL players down the wrong track. This is her on Friday night talking about how the Melbourne Storm are going to reassess themselves in the second half after they had a poor first half.
Well, Nico Hines said in that first half they were a little bit complacent, weren't they? But Craig Bellamy obviously rogered them, no, gave them a roar up in the half-time.
Yeah. So the coach of the Melbourne Storm apparently rogered the players at halftime. Which
See,
is...
I thought that meant, like, give them a rev.
No, it means I something that, well, yeah, would not, that. Certainly not happen at halftime. It would happen
when that would happen. Isolation.
Yeah, exactly. But she went on the Sunday footy show. I don't know who's advertising on the Sunday footy show, but the live reads are just out of control. And it's just, this was unbelievable.
Now, if you are experiencing bedroom performance issues, seek discreet and clinical treatment because I know what you're all doing. 100% that's online at getmosh.com.au. And I'm so sorry, Sam Thaiday, we came to you after a chat about hair loss last week. We're now coming to you off the back of this, but it's a serious issue that a lot of people do struggle with. But you can get great help, not you, obviously. Sam, what can you expect from this afternoon's match?
Don't assume. It's a very, very serious issue. And, you know, to think that this game's pretty limp today, I think there's going to be stiff competition, to be honest.
You're leading Sam Thaiday down the wrong track.
The Today FM Morning Crew. Hughie, Ed and Erin.
So my accommodation is just above the town hall, and on Saturday I'm looking down on people moving towards the town hall. I'm thinking, great, they've got a mass vaccination hub at the town hall. Sydney really wants to get out of lockdown, so everyone's going to roll out their sleeves and get the jab. AstraZeneca for everyone.
Hooray.
And then I hear people yelling, and I'm thinking, what are you getting angry about? Just stay in line and you'll get your jab. And then I see these people yelling because apparently they want freedom. They want to get out of lockdown so they've all congregated in the city so they can share COVID amongst each other so they can stay in lockdown till 27,000 million years. Yes. Come on. And then I see vision of a horse trying to just do horsey things and someone punches a horse. What did the horse do to you, mate? It didn't run in the Melbourne Cup and you lost money. It's just a horse. You know what? And forever you're going to be known as the guy who punched the horse because you punch one horse, mate, and you're the horse puncher forever. He's in jail now, that horse puncher.
Yes. Is he?
Bail refused, comrades. Bail refused.
Absolutely.
Is the horse going to testify? One stomp for he came right to me. Two stomps before I provoked him.
The horse's name is Tolbrook. And
to
he's
Brooke,
actually been to okay, whatever. And he's actually been spoilt with carrots and apples and a whole myriad of other wonderful things.
No, so he should be. He's a great horse.
He's been given
kicked
one
that guy
evening.
Right in the. He should have kicked him in the nuts.
I know that. He's been given an evening with Maccabi Diva.
The Today FM Morning Crew catch up. The Today FM Morning Crew catch up.
We're also doing this.
Purchase with 60 months interest free at Harvey Norman and receive a bonus gift card. Conditions apply. QC Ed and Aaron's Mini Molin. Let the sun
shine in. Yeah, this is very exciting. We're shining a light on kids in sport, all thanks to our friends at Harvey Norman, and we need help from the kids of Sydney. Everybody, we need a Mini Molin.
Yes, yeah, correspondent.
Because children love sport, and why wouldn't they? And Erin Molin has inspired the children of Sydney to play sport, to watch sport, to commentate on sport, and we're going to highlight them.
Yeah, this is really exciting. We're going to give little kids an opportunity to go on the radio and do a report like I do on Channel 9 News or on The Footy Show or on this show as well during the news. Yeah, that's probably the first one I should have plugged. But it's a great opportunity. And when I was little and wanted to do something like this, there weren't really any other women doing it that were on free-to-air or that were really visible. And I think that's changed so immensely over the past few years, which is wonderful. So little girls and boys, not just little girls, but we want kids who are passionate about sport. So if they play sport themselves or they just have a favourite athlete, I'm sure a lot of little kids love Ash Barty, or you've got a footy team that you love and you want to do a report for us, you can win great prizes. And it's all thanks to Harvey Norman. And Katie Page, of course, is one of the directors of that company, and she's incredible. And she's probably the most influential woman when it comes to promoting female sport in this country. There's probably no one who's done more for the cause. So she is phenomenal.
Great. Bloody legend. All right, register your details. How do we get involved?
Register your details at todayfm.com.au. That's todayfm.com.au. You can be our mini Mullen correspondent of the week and win a Space Talk smartwatch from Harvey Norman. Hello. Purchase with 60 months interest free at Harvey Norman and receive a bonus gift card. Conditions apply.
I think Eliza should be the first contestant with the video I sent you guys last night. Can we play that?
No, we can't because of the language in it. And we'll send that straight to
Docs.
What's the who are the people that take children
docs.
Off adults?
Yeah, docs. Docs.
Who?
Docs.
Docs. You know, Docs. Department of Community Services.
Yeah, right. I never heard the term docs.
What?
Am I?
You've obviously been a great parent for many years.
Your daughter has great comic timing, though, I must say. So
can we beep them out, or it's all she says, isn't it? So
it's all she says. But is Sean her dad, or is it Kevin Bloody Wilson?
I love that.
Coming up next, he's the nicest guy on TV, everybody, and he's got a brand new show starting tonight.
Well, he's taking over on The Chase, which is one of Australia's most popular shows.
With his face on it.
And his name is Larry Emder, and he joins us next.
The Today FM Morning Crew Catch Up.
Well, this is exciting, guys. The Chase is back, 5:30, Monday to Friday on Channel 7.
No, let's go with the intro before. It's a brand new show. Brand new show. Larry Emder, you're the star of a brand new show.
I'm an old host on a new show. There you go.
He's a hold host on a new show. So, you're as fresh as the day you popped out of your dear mum. So, you know.
Oh, God.
But he's an evergreen. There's no doubt that he's an evergreen. Are we all agreeing?
I've never heard the saying evergreen, by the way. What does that mean?
Well, it means that his leaves don't wilt. They stay crisp and full of all that good stuff that leaves have when they're green.
Sap.
just dripping sap. Yes.
Larry Emder, mate, I love this. I'm so happy. And on your Instagram, which I'm absolutely loving, you're posting a lot of old clips from game shows. We've had Family Double Dare. How good was that? Yes. We had the Price is Right. There was one that was for only people with scratch cards. I don't know how long. How many episodes did that one go, Laz?
That went for about 6 months until we ran out of scratch cards.
Yeah, there you go.
Larry, what was the champion? I couldn't pump up your tires anymore. You do a great job in the mornings. You absolutely smash it every morning on Channel 7. But what was the first year that you actually hosted a game show? What year are we talking?
1989.
Before
20 years before you were born. 1989. It was that show Ed was talking about, Family Double Dare. It was axed after the first episode.
Was it because you were in a tuxedo and a mullet?
A tuxedo and a mullet and white running shoes. No, it was because the first question was, how many F's appear in the word dolphin, right? And the woman answered the question. She hit the buzzer, and I said, yes, Jane. She went, Larry, there are two F's in dolphin. Oh. And I was called into the boss's office after. He said, I don't think we can go through with this.
Did you think your career was over at that point?
Well, even I know there's only one F in dolphin, so I'm like,
he doesn't take it too seriously. What about your news? Laz, is it true you've put up a photograph of yourself doing news overnight? Did you think news was going to be your path early on?
Yeah. That's where I started. I started in the newsroom, and I thought, one day I'm going to grow up and
you know, my testicles will drop and I'll end up on 60 Minutes with a thick voice and lots of grey hair. And that's where I thought I was going. And then what happened? Because I smile when I'm nervous. So when I was doing serious news crosses with triple fatal car accidents, I was smiling. And the news director said, called me in and he goes, "Mate, you're never going to work in news." He said, "You'll either sell Amway or be a game show."
I could just imagine you covering a tsunami or something, you know? So,
it was horrible.
Well, it's worked out for you, 100%.
Mate, yeah, no, this is going to be great. So, mate,
do you watch tonight, Laz? Like, what's the go?
No, no way. There's no way. I'll be either hiding under a couch somewhere. No, we'll go for a walk. Sylvia and I usually go for a bit of a walk at about that time of day, and I think we'll do exactly that. I couldn't do anything worse than sitting down and watching myself.
How do you go?
That said, I hope everyone else does.
They will, no doubt. But actually, let's talk about you walking, because I was actually jogging yesterday in Elizabeth Street in the city, and someone said, "Hi, Husey," and I jogged past, and I sort of gave them a wave like they were, you know, I didn't know them. And then I eventually realised the person who'd said, "Hi, Husey," was Sandra Sully. So how do you go when people see you walking in the street? Are you everyone must say hello, Larry, do they?
Well, normally they would, but now because of the mask thing, so I'm wearing a beanie, glasses, and a mask. And if anyone ever says, "Do I know you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Carl Stefanovic." Whatever, shut up.
Whatever, shut up.
All right,
good stuff, mate.
Don't miss it. 5:30, Channel 7. Larry Ender, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Today FM. Scariest moments of my life, and happened at Darling Quarter yesterday. It was shocking.
Was it as scary as what happened to Channel 7 reporter Robert Avadia during the anti-lockdown protests? Was it
I
as
love
scary
Robert
as
Avadia.
That? So do I.
He's a good guy.
Well, there's a Channel 7 reporter was, they're saying allegedly attacked, but I'm going to go with attacked. I think I'm pretty, the footage was pretty clear, by anti-lockdown protesters in a park captured on camera, Victoria Park, city's in the west. So we want to hear some of, well, it was basically a confrontation when the protesters found out that he was a reporter. I don't know what gave it away. Was it the camera? Was it the suit? Was it the makeup?
Just make the point as well. You say captured on camera by the idiot himself who was abusing Robert Avadia, then shared to his own social media. That's how the vision got out.
I
mean, seriously.
But also, you protest so that people can see you protesting. You need the media there to make it worthwhile.
Exactly.
Otherwise, there's no point protesting.
Very much so.
Correct.
Why are you writing signs if you don't want them broadcast?
Just for each other to enjoy.
Let's have a listen to some of the confrontation.
Channel 7 scum. Channel 7 scum. Here he is. Oh, you're fake news, you mutt.
Oh.
Dog.
Oh.
You're ruining our country. Go back to where you belong in the ground, you piece of
That's high quality we're all gonna stuff. Get... Yeah, and then obviously audio thanks to Channel 9 there. And
we're not laughing at the at obviously what occurred, but yes. Anyway, as somebody who is a journalist and has been in situations like that, as I have, and copped that kind of abuse. That is horrific. That is honestly, that's unforgivable. And he lost his cool a little bit at the end, which you can totally understand. He then got in a little push and shove. Someone stole his phone. I mean, these are just scum of the earth. And this is what annoys me when you look at the vision of the protesters. Maybe 1% of the people there were genuine small business owners, construction workers, people who are genuinely at their wit's end and know they shouldn't have gone, but they're for the right reasons. 99.9% of those people there were troublemaking scumbag idiots that did stuff like that to people, abused journalists, abused police, threw pot plants at horses. I mean, seriously, the whole thing was appalling.
There were absolutely, but there's a little bit of Robert, let's be honest, who's pretty happy that happened, isn't there?
Well, Robert shared that to his own Instagram. But look, I don't think he's happy it happened. But I think what it does do is highlight the idiocy and the nastiness and the vile nature of these douchebags.
You know what people are talking, Aaron? They're talking Robert Avadia.
They're talking Avadia.
And if anyone's talking Avadia, Avadia is happy with Avadia chat.
You know, next lockdown, the journalists will be throwing pot plants at each other and saying, did you catch it? Well, can you film me do one now?
Exactly.
The Today FM morning crew, Hughie, Ed and Erin.
Oh, well, there's been a bit of an update, hasn't there, on the Ducks and on Sam Neill's pond? Didn't he go on an American talk show talking about the celebrities?
British, sorry.
Yeah. Talking about, I don't know if I not got name dropped. I imagine I may not have, so... Anyway, that's what show was that? That was
Graham Norton.
Yeah, you know, I love Graham Norton. but, you know what, it's all about the Olympics right now. And it's all about Annemiek van Vleuten, who was in the road race, female road race, bikes. Yeah, they race for 6 hours, there's a stack of a minute. And she gets to the finish line and... I don't think she thought she knew there was someone in front of her. Let's have a listen to the commentary here. It's a bit subtle, but you can hear the reaction from the commentator as to what Annemiek van Vleuten was thinking when she crossed the line.
Annemiek van Vleuten comes in for a silver medal for the Dutch. Does she know that there was still one rider out in front? That is the big question.
Yeah, the big question is because she was carrying on like she'd won gold and... We're not here to say that silver isn't a great achievement. Coming second to the world is pretty good. No doubt it's great.
Are we sure she wasn't just super pumped about silver? Like,
No, she confirmed there's... later on. And look, thanks to Channel 7 for that audio. The 38-year-old, that's why it was so heartbreaking, confirmed that she indeed thought she had won gold. But the Peloton... Yeah, they'd forgotten. The Peloton forgot that someone else had sped off.
No. The thing is, I'll tell you what happened, and this is actually what happened. So 7 or 8 of them sped off, and then the ones behind it. What's that? A breakaway.
Yeah,
and then the Peloton, which is behind the breakaway, caught up. They thought they'd caught up to all of them, but they hadn't caught up to all of them. They'd only caught up to 6 out of the 7. So they assumed they were all back as a group, but they weren't because there was one out in front.
You wouldn't talk? Doesn't Peloton talk to the others? Don't you lean across if you're on the bike and go, anyone else?
This it? Just us? Mate,
have you ever been for a jog with me? There's no talking, mate. You haven't got the energy to talk. All your breathing is on getting your pedals pumping. So I put it to you, though, and this is the question. She had about 45 seconds, apparently, where she thought she'd won the gold medal. She had all the adrenaline, all the joy of being a gold medal winner.
38 years old, yep.
Yes, it was taken away from her after those 45 seconds, but she still got those 45 seconds where she thought she was the winner.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying.
And I put it to you that that is worth it. You've got 45 seconds of going, yeah, I'm the best in the world. I would take it. Absolutely take it. What do you think? You with me in that or not?
I'm trying to get to the end of the 45 seconds because I'm thinking about the person who came fourth going, what a sick bronze, like doing interviews. I got this sick bronze and then they get 45 seconds of I've got a bronze and now they've come fourth. What about that poor person?
But we love bronze. Don't get me wrong. Everyone loves
bronze. Here we go. Give back your bronze. We don't want that.
So yesterday, my last day of freedom before I went into isolation, guys, I thought I'd go for a walk and, you know, just soak up some rays down at Darling Quarter, which is a beautiful part of Sydney, no doubt about it. And I thought I'm going to get a Betty's burger.
Great, love Betty's.
How good are they? The bread bit, the bun is just like...
Yeah, no, we love a Betty's burger. Yeah. That should be the next ad, by the way, if they're listening. You could see that, couldn't you, Ed?
Get to the bit where you went up to them and said, the vegan burger, please, and they all went, ugh.
Everyone just died a little bit inside.
It's one of their signature...
We got one, guys.
I've had a number of them. I've had a number of them, and it's their signature burger, so it's on the menu. There's only like 5 burgers on their menu, and it's one of them.
You're saying they don't have a lot of variety, are you?
I'm just saying they've got a limited menu. Well, I don't know how many vegan burgers they sell, but I've certainly bought 3 or 4 off this one person down there. So I get my burger, I get a chips as well, and there's no one around. So I sit, or there's actually one couple on this large sort of bench, and I'm a long way away from them. I'm socially distancing, yeah?
I'm a long way away from them. Those benches are particularly long. Like, skateboarders love them. I get it. I get what you're doing. They're long enough to distance.
Yeah, absolutely. So I start to eat some chips, all right, out of my little bag. And the seagulls go Barango and go, they're just so aggressive. Yeah. And I actually end up yelling, F off. And the couple on the other end of the bench look at me like,
oh, no.
And I said, I'm not yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the seagulls. And so they sort of went back to eating their burgers. And then, so I put the chips down. I think I've got to leave the chips for later. And I go, and I do, I put the vegan burger in my mouth. And this is a no word of a lie. The burger is in my mouth and I'm chomping on it. And from the corner of my eye, I see something come. And one of the seagulls has flown into my face and taken a massive chomp out of the other end of the burger. And it's left me just shocked. I'm like, it swooped my head. It ate my burger out of my mouth. I'm its mummy or something.
Yes.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, mate. They're known for it in that area. Because I used to walk home through that area, and I used to play a game with myself called I Wouldn't Eat That, where people would walk out, and I've seen whole sushi rolls been taken out of the hand of someone as they take it out of a little packet. Those seagulls, Aaron, they are the most aggressive seagulls in the southern hemisphere, mate. This is, it's unbelievable. I know.
I couldn't eat the rest of my vegan burger. I'm like, has the seagull got COVID? I don't know.
Wait. Did you watch the seagull after it took the chunk and flew away and then realized it was vegan?
No, I don't know what the seagull did, but I imagine it ate it and enjoyed it, right? But
I suspect not. By the way, the birds at Coogee are worse, I reckon. They're Alfred Hitchcock birds. I've been attacked by them, and there's nothing that could be more vulgar and fierce.
But has a bird ever tried to eat something that was already in your mouth? This was incredible. I mean, I'm telling you, it came at my face, and it was right there. Yum, 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 yum. On the other side, it was so close.
Touch your mouth?
Look, I don't think so, but it was. I had to get away as quick as I could. The burger went in the bin. I thought they don't deserve my vegan burger, and I ate a few chips as I walked back to my accommodation, just thinking, what is going on? Is it end of days? Mm-hmm. But Ed, you're saying they're always that angry. I thought maybe they're that angry because there's no one around and they've nothing to eat anymore.
Oh, actually, that might have made them even more audacious. But those ones, you're right, there's Coogee and though Darling Quarter, those are the two most, they're so aggressive there. They're so aggressive, those seagulls.
We need to instill fear back in the birds of Sydney. I reckon a shotgun. Thank
you, Wes.
Just one as an example to the rest of them. Not in like the leg, like just a quick.
No, I know where.
So it wouldn't hurt. So it'd be quick, and then the rest of them would learn by example.
I spent my childhood with a low-powered air rifle in my hand, all right? And the birds of my local area knew when I was around, and they didn't touch my chips. But I put it to you and anyone that no one has a bird story or any animal story that's even close to that.
All right, 13, 10, 60, attacked by an animal. We got $100.
Any animal?
Yeah.
It's not just birds, any animal in any situation. What had a go at you? The more unusual, the better. But we'll, of course, take, your birds, your regulation birds.
Your dogs, your cats, your horses, your cows.
What do people get? Mm. What do they get if they call us?
We might get a call from prison from old mate who punched
the horse. The guy might say, horse headbutted my fist.
All right. $100 to spend at Max Brenner. What were you attacked by? We'll talk to you straight after this. It's Hughesy and Aaron.
What's our number? One more time. What's the number?
13 1060.
Today FM, Sydney.
I don't know about you guys, but I got a notification on my phone yesterday. Dave Hughesy Hughes has gone live on Insta. I'm like, what's going on here? And then.
Well, I thought I'd better go live after the bird ate my burger out of my mouth, my vegan burger. And a lot of people are derisive of the vegan burger, saying that, poor bird. Peter, actually, the organisation have tweeted me. So
people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah, they have. They've got a million followers, so I don't know how many you've got, but not that many probably. They've said, got to be careful when eating any form of delicious hashtag vegan food. Everyone tries to steal a bite.
Wait, did Peter say that to you?
Peter, yeah, with the blue tick.
Yeah, but
Peter.
They tweeted that to you.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. Jesus. And with an emoji of crying face.
Good content. So. That's good content, guys. It's just a lot of fun.
They're great, Peter. Their sense of humour is what strikes me.
Good on you guys.
I know what you're doing. So This is the audio that I, this is the Instagram that I put on straight away, live.
All right, this has never happened to me before in my life. Crazy times here at Darling Quarters. As I'm walking along, I'm munching on a burger, and these crazy seagulls attacked my burger. I actually ate it out of my mouth. Do not attempt any food down at Darling Quarter. Now I look insane.
Yeah, I did look insane. Because I didn't know whether to speak with the mask on or off.
It happened though. Got to remember people being attacked. Poor old Christine from Miranda. Christine, where were you? What was it? What happened?
Morning, guys. I was at Circle of Quay and I like to order. I got in a Porto's burger. And
yeah.
Beautiful. I got extra chili. Well, the bird kicked the wrong person when he ate my burger.
Yeah, that's a way to go.
He was shaken. He dropped the burger. It was so funny to watch.
That's a good way. It's a good way to attack at him.
But can I ask you, was the burger in your mouth or was it beside you when the bird went for it?
I just had it in my hand just to take a bite of it, and he come down and he snatched it out of my hand.
It's just aggressive, isn't it? It's wrong.
Aaron's right, though. It's time for a cull.
What if when the tourists are coming back? Make sure there's a lot around so they can see it and tell their friends. Just take out one and the rest will learn by example.
Yeah, but are they that smart, though? Will Trevor the Seagull go, hey, did you see what happened to Barry? You know, don't hassle people.
Here's Cara from Ride. Cara, what attacked you?
Hey, guys. A plover bird walking home from school one day and basically he swooped me and his hook of his foot got stuck in the corner of my eye and we were both going frantic for a little while and eventually he let go but I ended up with a great big hole in my head from where he pecked continuously to try and get away and ended up at hospital that night getting my eye seen to and looked at, making sure that he hadn't damaged my vision.
Nah, that's
I think that could even be worse than my burger story, do you reckon?
Is you think?
Kind of an eye. Right, they're gone. Thanks. This is great. I've got to leave.
Hang on. That is the most harrowing thing I've ever heard.
Mate, it gets worse. Wait till you meet Jay from Belmore.
It gets worse than a bird has its talons hooked into your eyeball?
Well, this
is worse than that.
I reckon so, depending on what part of your body you value more.
Oh, what do we
Jay?
Got?
You there, Jay?
Yes, I'm here.
What happened?
My turn. So
your turn now.
I had this aggressive lizard that was living in my spare room. So it jumped out of its enclosure, ran underneath the fridge. Underneath the fridge is like pitch dark. So I ended up putting my hand in there to grab the lizard. Next minute I know, the lizard ended up swallowing my finger. It's latching on and the teeth are sinking into my finger. I can still feel it. Its locked jaw is crunching on my finger. And then while I pulled my hand out, the lizard's dangling on my finger still. Swallow on my finger, I have to go to the kitchen and grab the butter knife and put a butter knife inside its jaw, try to unlatch its locked jaw. Once I did unlatch its locked jaw, I look at my finger and my finger's got all these thousands of teeth marks.
Yeah, dozens. Yeah, absolutely.
And that great lesson.
I reckon, he's got to let his lizard run. You know?
Guys know that he's not.
Let his lizard run free.
You guys realize it.
We believe everything that's said on this show.
There is no way that is true, Jay. I'm not calling you a liar, but you're a liar.
Swear on your family's life that that happened, buddy. Swear on their life.
No, I swear on my life, man, because I used to breed lizards before.
He swears on his life.
Lizards and snakes, yeah.
Photos or it didn't happen, mate. We're going to put them on Instagram, right? Photos or it didn't happen.
Good on you, Jay.
The Today FM Morning Crew. Husey, Ed and Aaron.
No, this is next level. So if you grew up kind of, you know, well, basically if you existed in the early noughties, it was all about J-Lo and Ben. So they were, he featured in that video clip. They were christened Benifer, and now 20-odd years later they have reunited. So I think Ben is potentially, I think he's 47 or so. Jennifer Lopez is 52.
Will you give a Ben a second name? Because some people wouldn't know the Ben you're talking about. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, superstar actor, best mates with Matt Damon, or he was in that movie about the kids at school,
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting.
Their first movie, and Robin Williams
was
in it.
They wrote it themselves, yeah.
Yeah, they knocked it out of the park, and they've both gone on to big careers. I think Matt Damon's had a more credible career. Is that fair to say?
I'd probably say so. And he hasn't had the off-field issues, so to speak, that Ben Affleck has had a very highly publicised divorce, issues with alcohol, drugs, gone into rehab, that kind of thing. But he's clearly emerged out the other side. And there's been pictures of them now officially published on Jennifer Lopez's own Instagram of them on a boat, and also some pap pictures as well. Kind of what's that word were you?
Reuniting.
Reenacting the scenes from the video clip that they did together, the Jenny from the Block video clip. He's touching her bum.
Deliberately reenacting.
Well, I don't know. Probably not. I think they're just standing on a boat hugging, but it just looks the same as what they did in the video clip. But anyway, look, everyone is super excited. I don't quite know why. She looks amazing in a bikini. And I know that's not a big deal because she's 52. That's not dead. Yeah, I get it.
You've reassessed age and what it means to be 50.
Yeah, I have. And look, basically, I'm considering doing a similar kind of photo shoot myself.
With your partner, Sean?
No, just by myself.
Well, you need someone else there, don't you? It would be sad on your own, wouldn't it?
Who's an old boyfriend you can get to get involved? Hey.
But I want to wear a bikini and look hot in it and have someone digitally alter my photos and I can share it.
Well, I don't think you and a state cricket is going to get the same attention, to be honest.
Anyway, it's not about me. That's silly.
Yeah, well, but Ben Affleck, I think, is universally known as a pain in the ass, isn't he? like, not that bright, thinks he's brighter than he is, tragic, woke, you know.
It's not going to last. I can already see it.
It doesn't need to last.
It is because J-Lo and A-Rod, and then they broke. And like,
Who's more desperate for the attention, do you think?
He's traded down.
Who was he married to? He was married to an actor,
wasn't
he?
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah,
Garner.
Yeah,
but she now spends most of her time looking after Prince Harry's kid.
What was his name? He had the chicken coop.
Archie. Archie's at Garner's joint most days.
Well, is she friends with Meghan Markle?
Yeah, right.
Did they have kids together, just by the way?
Yes, they have three kids. The eldest daughter is Ava. Yeah, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. Yeah, and look, I think he's a good dad.
Yeah, but hang on. No, he's not, because he's carrying on like a pork chop with another woman while, so how old are his kids?
I think Ava's like maybe 14 now. Oh, yeah. And so then he's there's got, like a 10-year-old and a
So he's got young kids and he's, they don't want to see daddy kissing this other woman, do they? Wouldn't you keep it?
Well, they've seen he was with that Anonymous or whatever her name is, chick, the 31-year-old, and he was kissing her too.
And then he was caught on Raya saying, why are you unmatching with me with 20-year-olds? This might be better, actually.
At least.
How long do we give it? Let's do it. How long?
Before Christmas. She won't want him in the Christmas shots, so he's gone before Christmas.
Aaron, are you going this or which side of Christmas are you going?
I've just seen some of the crew on the boat that they're on, some of the young ladies. I give it 3 days.
I'm going to give it till next Easter. So, yep.
What a nice guy you are.
I believe in love. The Today FM Morning Crew catch-up. So much fun, especially with the Olympics on and everyone getting excited. We're going to speak to the dad of Jack McLaughlin, who got a silver medal when he got beaten just by hardly anything by the Tunisian lad.
We're not focused on the fact that he was beaten. Can't we say he just beat the guy who won bronze rather than he just lost to the guy who won gold?
Yeah, no, but he got so close to gold, and that's why we love him. But who else are we focusing on at the Olympics? Who have you got?
Oksana Chusovitina.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What's her story?
She's 46 years old and an Olympic gymnast. She's been to 6 different Olympics.
Wow.
I love it. I can beat that. I've got something to beat her. Yeah? Is she Australian?
Oh, don't do Andrew Hoy.
I'm not doing Andrew Hoy, mate.
I won't accept equestrian.
I'm not accepting equestrian. No. I'm just not what accepting
about,
it.
Oh, how about the Aussiest Aussie of Aussies, Yan Fang Lei, who is 48 and she's in the table tennis. She's a veteran Australian table tennis player and she smashed the Russian the other night. Yep, Yan Fang Lei.
Yeah, but table tennis and gymnastics, you don't even know about it,
do you? Do you know about her, Yan Fang Lei?
Absolutely. I'm a sports presenter, of course.
She's got an unconventional paddle style, which she's used to great effect over the journey.
Strong backhand.
She's going for gold, mate, and people need to know that name, Yan Fang Lei.
I'm going to watch it on the app today. Well, I'll watch 2 seconds and then it'll drop out, but I'll try again after that.
But anyway, for a gymnast to be at this age, and haven't spoken a lot about my background. I promise I'm not trying to make it about me, but I was a gymnast for like 15 years and then coached for a good 10 years. And it's hard to be a good gymnast.
Why aren't you doing some tumbles on your Insta? You need to Six of Death has seen your frocks from Channel 9. You've got Channel 9 contemporaries, some would say competitors, you know, TikToking their way to millions of followers.
God, she's hot.
Belinda Russell, God. Yeah. God, and what you're doing, don't you're just standing me. There like you're mm-hmm. a clothes horse.
Thank you.
Showing you, you know, you look beautiful, but we know that. We need more.
Well, what do you suggest I do?
Tumbles.
Take off more clothes?
No.
Bikinis?
It's not about that. I want Peter Overton on the desk and you tumbling behind him. I want you to backflip behind him or Georgie Gardner or whoever's doing the news on the night you're on.
I can do a headstand.
We'll do that. You know, can Cam Williams
do
that?
So wait, this is a whole other segment. Are you don't like my content?
I love your content, but I'm saying we want more Moylan. More, you know what I mean. More Moylan. Moylan. More. We want more. Don't we, Ed?
I'm not sure what we want. It's been a while.
I don't know what I want.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I get so nervous and so tense watching Australians go for gold.
I can't
imagine how their families are feeling at the moment. What about the 400-meter freestyle? It was unbelievable. Two Aussies in the final. Mm-hmm. Can we hear how it finished?
Can he hang on here? Number two ranked Hafnaoui pushing the Tunisian. Not much between them. They hit it just out in silver. McLaughlin gets the silver medal, and the 18-year-old in lane 8 wins gold for Tunisia.
Jack McLaughlin, amazing effort to get second.
Great
it was
effort.
Huge. But can we speak to a family member? Who we
well,
got?
We can go to Noosa to speak to his dad, Alan. G'day, Alan.
Hey, Ed. How are you, mate?
No, I'm great.
Mate, we are pumped up. Your son did an amazing effort. You were there with the family. We saw it on Channel 7 because they got the cameras in the hub there in Noosa. What are your emotions like when you're watching that?
Oh, look, I'm pretty normally reserved watching those things. I like to sit and just enjoy, you know, watching the race there. But my wife, she's as nervous as, and my two kids, Catherine and Hayden, were, you know, they're getting pretty excited about it there. And but I like it there. But at the end there, it was nice to see that, you know, there was a podium finish for the lad. Yeah.
It was so close, man. We didn't.
Tell me about
Tunisian.
It.
I mean, did Jack say that? Have you spoken to Jack since?
No, my wife Judy has. Judy ran out of coffee, so I said I'd run out and do a run for her. When I did that, she got on the phone to Jack and had a chat with him there. So I haven't spoken to him yet, but he's very tired. He's very happy. It's always been one of his dreams there to get an Olympic medal, and you know, and he's done that.
As his dad, you've obviously watched the immense amount of work that's gone into this, all the behind-the-scenes tears, all the tough times. What do you hope this medal does for your son moving forward now?
I hope for him now. I just hope that he's happy and that he, you know, just enjoys the moment there. You know, a lot of these kids there just probably don't appreciate the enormity of it there, and I think, you know, he'll look back in years to come and sort of say, wow, that was it. You know, just getting to that there, it just takes a lot of effort, you know. And he spoke very well yesterday there about being a Formula One vehicle, but he has all the support crew to get him through to there. That brought a tear to my eye, and many, many others around here, you know, just so happy to hear him talk like that.
Oh,
was he a brat as a kid? I mean, I'm not talking my son down here, but my son plays basketball, and when he misses a few shots in a row when we're practicing, he just cracks it. And I just go, mate, get a grip. You know, you've got to enjoy this. This is all about having fun. Have you said that over the years, and have you had to, like, talk to your son about getting too overwhelmed by stuff?
Look, occasionally there. Look, it was, you know, as a six-year-old there, you know, he was always a very good sportsman, and he was in a rugby team that they played, and I think they lost two games in from the under sixes through to the under 13s, and they were very, very good. And those two games there, you know, I may or may not have been the referee that didn't let them win.
That's great. Keep them hungry, Alan. Keep them hungry.
I know. Great. My wife always used to say that I used to be too tough on him in that respect. But no, look, that you do have to sort of rein them in occasionally there, but, you know, generally speaking, he's been a great kid all along. They're very, very focused on things. Doesn't talk about swimming at home. You know, you ask him a question, oh, I don't want to talk about it, and you get that sort of reaction. We find out more from the, you know, somebody, a friend or a family, you know, someone else outside the family ask a question, and he's compelled to answer in that respect. So it is interesting. Yeah.
So you learn watching him do interviews in the media and stuff, you learn things about him that you didn't know.
Absolutely. You learn a lot about him.
Can I just ask about in that hub that you're in with the Channel 7 cameras there? I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the families.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, your lad did well in that race, but Elijah didn't do so well and his family were there as well. How do you, you know, is there camaraderie amongst the families when someone's kid doesn't do as well as expected?
Look, the hub is fantastic. It's been really good, you know. All the parents are very, very close, and even there's a lot of new parents that have come into it. Jackson, you know, we've been involved with the pods now since Rio, the last games, and you know, it took us a little while to sort of mingle into it there. But you know, they're just so welcoming. All the other parents are so supportive there. The Winningtons aren't here; they're down the. They didn't come up from the coast there,
right.
So you know, we haven't been able to speak to them and that. So. Look, you know, everyone is so supportive there, and you know, I'm sure Elijah will, you know, pick himself up from that disappointment and move on. The rest of the parents here, they're fantastic. You know, everyone's very supportive. If you notice in the some of the vision there, there's a green couch at the front. Green couch, we're calling it the lucky seat. And we had the Smiths in there yesterday, and Brendan was able to get the bronze medal, and Jack jumped into it yesterday. We had the Callahans in there for the all by 100 for the girls there, and Molly had swum in the heat swim on that. So we're calling it the lucky seat.
So you got to get on the green couch.
Last night we had the Titmuses in the seat there, and
Titmuses are in the seat.
In the seat, so we're hoping for good things.
They might have to be on the laps of each other in that seat today. There's big racing going on this morning. It's huge.
All right. Well, that's it from us, everybody.
We will see you all again tomorrow.
We will. We're going to have a great time, aren't we?
We are.
I can't
wait. So many golds in the pocket. I'm going to need a new flak jacket tomorrow.
If Titmus doesn't win today at midday, it is your fault, Ed Cavalli. All right?
What?
So
it's
the pressure
gold.
Is on you.
It is
you
a pocket gold.
You made Beretta say Titmus was going to win.
Yep.
So it is absolutely all
I
you're
have
doing.
I haven't confirmed, but that Uncle Toby's are already working on an ad. Oh. All they need is the shot
on.
Of her holding up the gold.
Mate, Titmus is a Harvey Norman girl. We know
she
that.
She is Harvey
She's
Norman.
The best.
Hey, guys, is there someone new doing something today on our network?
There is.
Is Mike Hammond here?
What
Mike
the
Hammond.
Hell?
I've got the studio on air and everything. Which I know.
Well played, Mike. The standards are low.
Oh, yeah. I can't help it. The last time I saw Hughesy, we nearly had a fight.
What?
Yes, I've spoken about that. Me and Mike nearly had a punch on at the Acras.
Yeah, it was about those radio awards nights, you know. Hughesy doesn't drink, but I did, and
it was an incredible evening.
Oh, I'll tell you later.
For tomorrow,
it's another one of your famous off-air chats, guys.
You've brought it on air, Mike. We're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's
right,
get
okay.
involved.
Don't
I
miss
love
that.
It.
All right,
welcome,
enjoy, Mike.
Thanks,
Aaron.
Thanks, guys.
See you tomorrow,
you, mate.
That right there was the Today FM Morning Crew catch up. Get the guys weekdays from 6 on 104.1 Today FM, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram.